Hey y'all. So when it comes to bodies, weight loss is not really something that I'm pursuing right now. But as you know, one of Vanessa's family members has been taking a GLP-1 medication, and it's worked really well for him. So if that is part of your journey, you should check out the Row Body Program. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Row's partner handles all the insurance paperwork to help get the medication covered. If eligible for medication, patients have access to their provider on demand for any questions. Go to ro.co/infamous. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/infamous.
Campsite Media.
This episode contains strong language.
Can I hold this anywhere or I have to hold it down here?
Are you serious? Hold it like you hold a dick. I thought you listened to my raw tapes. That's my oldest trick in the book. Right to your fucking mouth. Are you good at mics? Should I hold your
No,
mic?
I know how to hold a mic.
Sure?
Yes. Okay. Hey everyone, it's Vanessa Grigoriadis, and welcome to Infamous. For the last couple of weeks, we looked at the politics of the most influential newspaper in America. We looked at some of the decisions that the reporters and editors made that helped lead our country into an incredibly destructive war in Iraq, a war that lasted more than 10 years. It was a story full of powerful politicians, secret agents in their tailored suits, gold watches, leather briefcases carrying top secret information. But as you've probably figured out by now, we like mixing things up on Infamous. And so this week, we've got something a little different. It's almost on the opposite end of the spectrum. It's not exactly war, but you could say it's a different sort of hell altogether. Now, you may have heard about the Insane Clown Posse and the Juggalos because their unofficial title is the most hated band in America. And if you haven't heard about them before, don't worry. I have a friend here who's going to tell you all about the ICP and the Juggalos and their absolutely off-the-rails festival.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Who I? Who me, Zoe Nightingale? Oh, me. Well, hi there, Vanessa. So good. Where are my pleasantries?
Oh, my God. It's so nice to see you.
Oh, my God. What an honor.
It's been so long.
It's been a while. So, Vanessa.
So, Zoe, you and I have known each other a few years. I heard news that you were taking the godfather of my children and going to the Juggalos Fest.
Well, the first thing that you should really be thinking about is how come he's your godfather of your children.
Because all
I had to say was Jug and Brendan was in. There was no convincing. It was oh, yes, with one eyebrow up. So yes, I took the godfather of your children to the gathering of the Juggalos 2021 and it was fabulous.
Why did you want to go there?
I've wanted to go there for a decade.
And why is that?
I just don't even understand the question. Why wouldn't you want to go there?
Because it's like a bunch of people dressed as clowns and you have to like camp and it's like dirty.
You go to Burning Man.
The music is sort of bad.
Burning Man.
I mean, true. Yeah.
So these are just poor burners.
Right.
It's pretty much the same thing. Most of the people told me that literally 360 days out of the year, they are just miserable, but they have this to come to.
So it's like a pilgrimage. It's like a ritualistic sort of
Correct.
Like New Year's Eve ceremony
Correct.
Of like
yeah, yeah.
turning the page.
Yeah. yeah. And you go there to fill your little heart up with love and then you go back to your shitty fucking actual life and then you wait for the next one to come again.
So there's this band in the Insane Clown Posse.
You
so
what I'm saying. It's the Insane Clown Posse.
That's what I said.
You're running through it.
What am I supposed to say?
The Insane Clown Posse.
That's exactly what I just said.
You did it faster.
Okay. So there's this band. Now you're making me nervous.
I'm sorry, Vanessa.
Okay. So there's this band, the Insane Clown Posse.
Correct.
And so what did you know about them before?
Nothing.
Of like course, nothing?
Zero. All I knew is I'd seen like a Vice thing for 3 minutes like 10 years ago. And I was like, this is somewhere I want to be. Anywhere that large amounts of people follow one kind of thing, I'm excited about. But mm-hmm. this in particular seems so outrageous and so outlandish. And I love the makeup. I really respected their like, you know, middle finger to society. Like, fuck you guys. This is what we're doing. And I don't care what you think.
So what's their music like?
Their music is really, the thing that people don't understand is that their music is very farcical. It's a lot of really intense comedy. There's a lot of allusions to violence, a lot of allusions to childhood trauma. They talk about a lot of trauma in their music. When they were kids, you'd beat them and leave them home, and even whip them with the cord on the telephone. And really letting people in on like the immense amount of pain and trauma and pedophilia and like sexual abuse that happened in their lives, and they're laughing at it.
And it's like heavy metal.
Or no. It's like God, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like Halloween rap music. It's got very spooky kind of Nightmare Before Christmas kind of vibe. An occult sorcerer of the ancient craft of necromancy. And a lot of like creepy clown laughter, a lot of like chainsaw sounds. It's like you're trapped in a haunted house where people are rapping at you.
What does the makeup look like?
It's insane. It looks like like the happy and sad theater, Greek theater faces. It's basically black and white oil makeup. It's not the world's best makeup for your skin. We'll put it to you that way. It's basically like a paste. It's an oil paste.
So it's like mime.
It's very, very mime. It's black and white and very theatrical. Basically, they look like jack-o'-lanterns. So there's like lots of triangles and lots of crazy jigsaw mouths.
So what is a juggalo? How did that term come about?
My definition of juggalo is very simple. It's somebody, it's a person, well, one, who loves the music of the Insane Clown Posse, very important. Two, would give you the shirt off their back. Three, might throw up, get right back up, and keep partying. What is a juggalo? He drinks like a fish, and then he starts hugging people like a drunk bitch. It's really anybody. It's anybody that kind of feels forgotten by society and forgotten by their family. And I don't want to pigeonhole them like this, but the juggalos are open to everybody. It is really a warm blanket of which to wrap anybody up in who believes that they don't have family or community. It's for everyone.
And so what's the gathering?
The gathering is their once yearly festival where all the juggalos and juggalettes all come together and they come together to be with their family. It's basically people tenting outside at the Legends Valley campground in Thornville, Ohio. And they come together and they camp out and they share stories and campfires and they share, you know, they get drunk together, they cry together.
And can you tell me what the Gathering of the Juggalos is?
It's a fucking family reunion. Everybody's welcome. You do what the fuck you want and ain't no one gonna judge you.
I mean, honestly, you know, everybody thinks, you know, it's all about drugs, all about getting high and getting drunk and everything.
Which it is.
But honestly, yeah, mostly. But honestly, everybody here is welcoming. You know, everybody looks violent. But I mean, honestly, I mean, ask these people. They're all welcoming. Everybody looks out for each other. Everybody's fucking here for each other. I mean, shit, you want to wear a fucking thong, you wear a fucking thong. Yeah. I mean, shit.
Okay, so you got Brendan.
Oh, yeah.
He's willing to go. And what happened? How do you guys plan this out?
We didn't have a plan at all. We rented a beat up Ford Explorer, white Ford Explorer for like $40 a day. I brought exactly 14 suitcases with me, maybe more. I can't tell. And the most important thing is we brought Sarah Jane, Saturday's Panties with us, who is a real professional clown, a real mosher, a real juggalette, a very dedicated and incredibly talented seamstress, costumer, clown, performer, whatever. So we brought Sarah Jane, and Sarah Jane basically looked at all of my suitcases and threw everything I brought out. You're not going to like electronic music festival. We're going to a clown festival. And she had to teach me, literally restyle me. And I learned so many things like socks or gloves. I mean, everything I had brought was wrong. I just looked like a dumb, you know, aging, you know, Jewy raver, you know,
right.
With too much sparkles, too much sequins, too much joy, too much blinky lights. And she totally restyled me. And I looked like Chucky gone wrong. I mean, I looked great. No, seriously, I've never felt better. Honestly, really.
So you had on like a striped skirt with like.
Oh, I was full. I looked like Raggedy Ann, but possessed by the devil. She had these really scary nipple pasties that really were terrifying. I mean, I looked in the mirror and I literally didn't even know who I was.
What's a scary nipple pasty?
It's just like fucking. It's got like bonded shit on it, and it's like fucking spiky, and it's just like, stay the fuck away from my tits.
So you guys are in the Ford Explorer, whatever it is.
Right, we drove like 3 hours, and then we go to Kmart and we buy a tent and like a sleeping pad. And then we get like, I think like a couple jugs of Gatorade and like a couple granola bars, and and we go to the festival. All right, so we're here live from the, where are we? The what?
Gathering.
Of what?
Juggalos.
What year is it?
It's 2021.
What day is it?
That's a good fucking question.
What hour is it?
That's even better question.
Who am I?
That I don't even know.
Who are you?
Blake.
That's, what up, Blake?
I remember that.
What does it look like?
It looks like a giant figure. It looks like any other festival, except that people are head to toe covered in crazy tattoos, or they've got gauges in their ears or nose or lips, or like, it looks like you've wandered into a haunted house tattoo parlor from the 90s where everyone has done too much meth and decided to get face tattoos and ear gauges like the size of like, you know, dilated cervix. Anyway, the moment you walk in there, everybody's drinking Faygo right away. Faygo is everywhere.
What's that?
So Faygo is a Detroit soda company that makes Lisa Frank on acid colored sodas. After you drink the stuff, your pee is like literally neon yellow. 1,000,000% sugar, very inexpensive soda that the Juggalos embraced because when they were growing up in Detroit, it was like the only thing that they could afford at their deli or something. And they spray like the greatest joy you can have as a Juggalo is to be on stage with the Juggalos and they spray you with a Faygo hose. You want to talk about immersive, you know, this word that is overly used. This was so unbelievably immersive from the moment you walk in there.
People are psychopaths. The fireworks are like right in the crowd.
Oh yeah, that's fucking awesome.
Fuck! Oh, Jesus fucking
okay.
Christ!
It's okay. It's
why?
What?
That firework. Was not a firework.
It's okay. It's just firework.
Why
did? Firework. It's okay.
Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. All the meals are chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, they're always fresh, never frozen, and unbelievably, they're ready to go in just 2 minutes. You've got more than 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. That's not including any of the 60-plus add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. Factor meals are ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. That's right, no dishes. And they're flexible for your schedule. Get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime, like if you decide to go on vacation or something. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. Head to factormeals.com/infamous50 and use code infamous50 to get 50% off. That's code infamous50 at factormeals.com/infamous50 to get 50% off. I've always struggled with finding time to manage my finances. At the end of a busy week, the last thing I want to do is spend time budgeting all of my expenses or tracking down customer service teams to cancel old subscriptions I no longer use. But now I use Rocket Money, and it does all that for me. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I can see all my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with just a few taps. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/infamous. That's rocketmoney.com/infamous. rocketmoney.com/infamous.
You're listening to Infamous from Campside Media.
Guys, it's my first time. What do you think about that? Do you have any tips for us?
I do.
Okay, tell me some tips.
Best 4 days of your life. Make sure you fucking kill it.
Damn.
Never pick money up off the ground because it is covered in shit.
Why?
Because it's a poop dollar.
I understand.
Someone's going to wipe their ass with it, sit on the side, and watch you come pick up a shit dollar.
Why would they do that?
They're juggalos. Why wouldn't they do that? Any other tips? If they tell you a drink is electric, it's going to have LSD in it. So watch for electric Faygo.
Electric Faygo.
Show everyone your butthole. Drink a lot of water. And just be confident.
The way the juggalos greet each other is show me your butthole. Not like just show you like a bent over butt. They will open up their cheeks and show you their inner eye.
And so then you walk outside of the tent and then all these people are showing their buttholes. So like, what the hell is that?
No, hold on a second. People are showing you their butthole from the moment you walk in the door.
I don't understand. What do you want me to do?
Show me your butthole.
My butthole.
Show me your butthole.
Okay, and what happens if I do that?
Nothing.
Nothing?
I'm just going to see a butthole.
That's it?
Yeah.
So we got to backtrack to the beginning of the festival. And this is something that I was not prepared for because I had done a lot of research before I went there, but no one said anything to me about large amounts of grown men showing me their non-hygiened buttholes.
What?
It's a festival, girl.
Oh, God. That's so
and it was honestly, I've only seen, how many buttholes have I seen in my life? Like, six? I don't know. Like, actually, like, looked right into, stared the devil in the eye.
But wait, so you were in shock the first time?
Yes, shock.
And Brendan, and none of you knew this.
No one knew that this was going to happen. And it took Brendan exactly one day to start showing people his butthole. Anyway, so you walk in the festival, and right away people will start saying, to you, show me your butthole.
Well, what are you supposed to do when they're doing this?
Be
like, your butthole looks nice?
That's a very nice asshole. What? Perfect asshole.
Come on.
You could do gay porn with that asshole.
I do.
You do gay porn?
Yes.
It's not even about that. They just, so it's them asking you to show them your butthole as a fidelity thing, as like a pledge of allegiance to the community of juggalos. Like, I'm here and I'm ready to party and I'm part of your crew. Here's my butthole. We all have a butthole. It's not even sexual. I'm telling you.
It's just like shaking hands.
It is the way they greet each other. And it's how they know that you're in the know and that you're not ashamed to be a juggalo. Because juggalos, until you are in, you're not in. You kind of have to like prove your fidelity and show them that you're there and you're serious and that you are not making fun of them. It's like, we all have buttholes. Why is it this big deal? And I really liked that about them. They're there with their family. They're safe. They're going to show their buttholes. They're going to do weird shit. They're going to cry and hug different people about their sexual trauma. And they're going to talk about their successes over the year. And they're going to be with their family and fuck you in general. Get in or get out. They start offering you stuff. Do you want, you know, a cold Faygo?
Yeah, it's not shit you want, though.
That's okay because it's the vibe, right? Yeah. So, like, some people were mean to me. Other people accused me of being a big media journalist, like, right away because I had my microphones and, like, a small setup for a camera, like a iPhone mount with a stabilizer. They're like, you from CNN? I'm like, yeah, from CNN. And like, you got it. And I'm like, anyway, so I started going to activities. One of which, you know, was the lecture series with Chris Hansen.
Right.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC, and we're doing a story on guys, men trying to meet teens on the internet.
So that was like day one, was this giant meetup of all of these people who've been sexually abused and who are rabidly going crazy for Chris Hansen because he catches pedophiles.
Okay, so set the scene. So you walk into like what, a tent? Like, okay, a big white tent?
Right. So let's say it's 2 p.m. It's 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Everyone's clown makeup is dripping off their face because it's oil-based. It's a tent full of hay barrels. So everyone's sitting on like big haystacks. Chris Hansen comes in. He is dressed to the nines. Like,
right.
Like, full crisp striped, like, you know, like Brooks Brothers t-shirt, pressed denim, like literally Todd moccasins, no socks, looking great.
So Chris starts talking.
All right, guys, are we on the main stage tonight?
What's he talking about? He's just talking about we need to get the molesters.
He's talking about the show, how the show started, about the why he's a juggalo, the support of the juggalos, how wonderful it's been to have, you know, this community back up the show and all the letters that he receives and how much he really feels for this community and how happy he is that he can contribute, you know, taking one pedophile off the street. And people are starting to go crazy, like, kill the pedophiles, like, my dad raped me, like, just crazy, just started yelling, you know.
It's mostly guys saying
all stuff.
Oh, wow.
It's okay. All, the festival is, I don't want to quote, but 70% men. It was a very intense atmosphere, and Chris handled it like a fucking pro. And people started sharing stories about them being molested and how amazing it was, how this show has really positively affected their life, that someone cares, that this is happening to children. But it was kind of beautiful. I mean, it's like, it's energy that you can't make up, and you can feel the collective fucking pain, man. Like, it's not a joke. You can really feel how hurt people have been by sexual trauma. And it's big guys, and it's big guys talking about sexual trauma. And I've never really been in a situation where I've seen so much openness and honesty around about male rape. In my life, I've been involved in a lot of women talking about their trauma. And this is a place where I thought it was really cool that guys had a safe space to talk about it. I mean, I witnessed so many different versions of like group therapy, mostly through laughter and just sort of storytelling, and people, you know, crying, hugging, a lot of really positive male relationships, guys like really holding each other, like really sharing like deep felt emotions with one another in a way that I thought was incredibly beautiful. And then there's a lot of really crazy shit.
What is the weirdest thing you've ever seen?
Oh my goodness gracious.
Start from the beginning.
Depends on your definition of weird.
That's true. What is whatever yours is?
Well, I've seen a man covered in peanut butter wandering around asking for where his jelly was. I have seen a sculpture of a turtle made out of poo from a porta-john.
That is the grossest thing I've ever heard.
It was awesome. What did you just say to me?
Stapling their
nutsacks
to girls' tongues.
Who was doing that?
Couples.
What do you
There's
mean?
A bunch of them up there.
What are you talking about? What is wrong with these people?
Confirm or deny that you saw couples staple one nutsack to one tongue.
Yes, they did.
How many did that?
I don't know. But they did.
Okay. And did the people, like, were they in excruciating pain?
Yes, they were hurting bad.
Back in the 90s, Pepsi and Coca-Cola were in a heated race to try and win loyal customers by any means necessary. But when Pepsi launched an ambitious promotion that encouraged people to buy Pepsi and redeem points for prizes, they overlooked their own fine print in a major way. On each episode of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop, comedians join host Misha Brown to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time and try to answer the age-old question. Who thought this was a good idea? Like, who at Pepsi thought it would be a good idea to advertise that people could earn enough points to redeem a military jet as a prize? When they launched their Pepsi points system, they never imagined somebody might actually try to snag it. But a 23-year-old did, and suddenly, Pepsi owed him a jet. Follow The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. Anybody who has a sibling knows that sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince Harry and Prince William. They'd been each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother. But that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties. Wondery's podcast, Disentel, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started. It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle? Or was it something that began much earlier? Follow Disentel on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Infamous from Campside Media.
So tell me a little bit about where you grew up, where you come from.
So I'm from Iowa. Perry is where I live currently, and it's like fucking tweaker fucking city, bro. It's meth. There's so much meth. It's insane. Yeah. I grew up around it. My dad's a tweaker. The first time I did any drug or anything, I did it with my dad.
How old were you?
I was going into eighth grade.
Are you kidding me?
No.
When you grow up with a dad who does meth, do you think it's normal that he does that?
Well, I thought, like, that's what it is. Like, all his friends, everyone else around, that's what we did. Like, pills, meth, drinking, smoke weed.
When did you realize that maybe this was not a normal father-son relationship?
When I got out of prison.
I'm not funny. I'm sorry.
No, dude.
It's your timing.
I was homeless and just kind of going to whoever's fucking house I could to do whatever drug I could, you know.
Sorry, what age was this?
This was 18 and 19. My mom tried to kill herself when I was 7 in front of me and my sister. And she lost custody of me and I went to go with my dad.
Did she ever say, I'm sorry for doing that?
No. We lived in this, like, it was like a cult, bro. This weird Christian house that...
You were living in a Christian cult?
Yeah, okay, so it was like a house full... And they wouldn't, like, let you go to town and shit. Like, it was fucking weird.
So, the Christian cult, did it make you wear weird clothes? Did you, like, learn?
No, but they fucking threw away all my shit that was, like, not religious or Christian. And, like, all the CDs and shit. The worst movie they had, and I would just... Harry and the Hendersons. Have you ever seen it?
The Bigfoot thing?
Yes. And there's one part in the movie where the kid says, like, God damn. And I used to rewind, play, just to fucking watch it and just laugh. Because it was like, I don't know, it was so forbidden.
If people are going through hard times, which many are, could you share any words of wisdom to how to get through some hard shit?
Yeah. Do meth. No, I'm just fucking around.
That might be a cut.
They are storytellers and they've been through so much that it's almost an honor to sit with people who are survivors of this level. I couldn't imagine being able to survive the kind of hardship that this community has gone through in terms of everything and the sexual abuse, the lack of upward mobility is actually, if you think about the American dream and what we're all supposed to have access to, I'm talking about just this idea. This is all races, all people, all, you know, there's like gender, there's all different kinds of genders, there's all different kinds of political backgrounds. A lot of these people come from so, so much hardship and they have found so much love in this community and they really will give you the shirt off their back and they have nothing.
This is the only place I can be safe and be here, so.
So you can't be safe at home?
I'm safe at home, but I feel like whenever I go out in public, like as a big girl, it's hard for me to, like,
here,
you know.
You are fucking celebrated.
Yeah, out here, like, nobody judges me or talks about me. So this is the only place I feel safe to dress how I want to be.
It's people who are looking for community. It's a lot of people who've fallen through the cracks of the support networks and systems that were supposed to educate them, take care of their health, take care of their mental health, take care of their family's mental health. A lot of people who've been incarcerated because the towns they come from no longer have any viable work. But, you know, it's just the forgotten American poor.
Here's the thing. You got nobody to call family? Whoop with me, my man. You're my brother. You're my fam. That's what this shit is all about. It is about just accepting everybody, and no matter how weird or how different they are, you keep being your fucking weird ass self, and I'm gonna just keep it fresh over here, and you got a home, dude, with me. Judgment free zone. And that's what this is literally all about. It's just weirdos and rejects all together under one roof, making this amazing thing happen.
It's awesome. It's truly awesome.
So what was your big takeaway? What did you get from this?
I don't know. I just incredible gratitude, and I was just kind of really blown away people could survive. The reason really that I wanted to go is because I always like proving people wrong about a culture and a group that everyone thinks is so scary, and they're like, you know, they're like, it's either like sex communities or like weird. People are never scary. They're always just looking for love and acceptance. And I wanted to go to the Juggalo Festival to prove people wrong and to show them that this was another just community of people trying to figure out how to live life and to get through the day. And I think I did that.
A lot of us Juggalos, especially around my age, we grew up with this shit. We grew up with the lyricism, the acceptance. And a lot of us came from broken situations. Some of us not, but we all relate to one thing, and it was the unity and the acceptance that came out of the Juggalo world that was created by Insane Clown Posse. It's all about the music and unity and togetherness and fucking just bugging out. Everything's wild. Everything's just random. And it's honestly all walks of life. Nobody is excluded.
I had a real revelation there. I've always been a clown. And I've always wanted people to see the absurdity of life and the light side of life. And I've always looked at pain and hardness and smiled. And I can't really describe it, but it was like a religious experience. I do feel like this is a new part of my family. And I love them. I love it. And I will go again. And probably again after that.
All right. Thanks for listening to Infamous this week. Zoe Nightingale is a comedian and a podcaster. You can find more of her work at zoenightingale.com. So next week, we're going to take another swerve and tell you a story that's set in the world of high fashion. It's about what happens when two people in the business of selling dreams fall in love, out of love, and then wage a war. Infamous is a production of Campside Media and Sony Music Entertainment. It's created, executive produced, and hosted by Gabriel Sherman and me, Vanessa Gregoriadis. Shoshish Mullavitz is our managing producer and editor. Rajiv Gola is our senior producer and editor. And Lily Houston Smith is our associate producer. This episode was sound designed by David Devereaux and recorded by Ewan Lai Tremuin. See you next week.